I said the Lord is good. Now, there are a number of scriptures I want us to read to start what we are going to discuss this afternoon in continuation of our discussion on the life, a life of purpose. All right? A life of what? Yeah, thank you very much. And we are going to commence today by reading, I said we'll read a number of scriptures, about four of them. One of them is Psalm 40 from verse 6. It says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but what did you do? My ears you have opened. He said, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. He said, and your law is within my heart. All right? Now I want to read a counterpart scripture to that from the book of Hebrews. I think we should quickly read that one. I like the way it's rendered in the book of Hebrews. Let's read from the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. It said, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. This is the line I was looking for. But a body you have prepared for me. He said, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Like we read just now, he said, I delight to do thy will. And thy law is within my heart. Quickly again, let's read from the book of Psalms also, 139. The book of Psalms, chapter 139, from verse 13, it said, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. He said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This is the New King James. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. He said, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. Please notice something here. I'm trying to explain a principle, talking about this, our issue of a life of purpose. I've read the scriptures to bring out something. Of course, these were written specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ, especially that one we read from the book of Hebrews and from Psalm 40. And why I read that one is for us to understand. You know, last time I concluded by explaining something. Actually, I wanted to go into what I'm going to discuss today. I wanted to start that last week, but as I was going on, well, I never got out of the clarification I wanted to make. And that's the fact that your life was made deliberately. What I mean is that before you were born, listen to this, a purpose was set for your life. You were not born to come and find a purpose for life. A purpose was established. Therefore, you were formed to fulfill that purpose. That's why I had to go read that one from the book of Hebrews when he said that a body thou hast prepared for me. That is, God had, if you read that one, he said that sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. That is, there was an assignment to fulfill. God did not have pleasure in something that was going on. And for that reason, so as to solve the deficiency that was there, he specially prepared a body and he put the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ inside it, and then he was born. And he was able to fulfill God's purpose because of that. I'm bringing out an issue here. That is, that same thing applies to everybody. You are not born by accident. You know, actually, the problem is that people think that God doesn't think of certain things. Do you get my point? That you were born to think that God thinks only of the building of the temple, of righteous living. It doesn't cross your mind that God is interested in the next generation of mobile phones. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. People think that those things are not spiritual. It doesn't cross your mind that God is interested in the next generation of cars that will be made. It doesn't cross our minds that God is interested in the kind of solar powers we'll be using, or the kind of technology we'll use for generating power. We think unconsciously. Now, really, that's what we think. We think God exists in those four walls, within the four walls of a church. And when things come out, it's slightly different what is going on there. Sometimes we actually wonder whether God knows mathematics. Now, it sounds funny. No, really, have you ever thought about it? That does God really know quadratic equation? You know he knows arithmetic, because that one was written clearly in the Bible. You know, he adds, all those things are there. But the details of Albert Einstein's calculations, unconsciously, we think that No, God doesn't bother about those things. But this one I want you to understand, that there are equations that are yet to be written. Now, that's why I said before that most people, when we talk about call to ministry, what we are thinking of is what? And when we're talking about a calling or ministry, all we are thinking of is I have to go and preach. That's why a lot of people who, when they cannot, now let me say it again. I know I've said it enough. I hope you are not tired of hearing it. A lot of people, when they look in their lives and they cannot find satisfaction, they want to please God. You know the next thing they do? They start preaching. And you see, witnessing to your friend and your neighbor is the will of God. Did I hear an amen? Yeah, that is the will of God. But I'm talking about taking on preaching as a profession. You've seen it a lot. I don't want to mention names again. There are people I see on TV and I say, why is this guy bothering to preach? You know his reason? He wants to please God. Because he feels like, I dance for the devil. I sang for the devil. Let me now preach for God. He doesn't understand that you can dance for God and sing for God and not sing Jesus is coming again. Now, I was saying something, that there are equations that are yet to be written. Are you getting my point? And without a certain kind of brain, you can't write them. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Yes, and so when God wants to have those equations written, you know what he does? He forms a kind of brain and then passes that brain through a woman, all right? And the woman gives birth to a child, male or female. It can be any sex. And then that child will now be trained in life. But God specially wired, gave birth to him so as to solve all the things that confused them, Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking, till date. Are you getting my point? And until that fellow manifests, confusion will remain in the realm of science and mathematics, or physics and mathematics. Do you understand my point? But when he doesn't understand that, what he thinks is that as he's getting serious as a Christian, he goes to join a church, and let me tell you something about most pastors. We are human beings too. Did I hear an amen? We are human beings. Listen, let's assume that I want to start branches of Kingdom World Ministries. I won't look for the most spiritual person, what I mean, to go and help me. It's the person that's most dedicated. That's normal. I don't know whether you get my point. That is the normal thing. It's not spiritual. It's not wicked. It's just a normal fact of life. A lot of times, those most dedicated people were actually born to be physicists, not pastors. I will say this clearly, especially in today, where there are so many branches of churches all over the country. Let me say this again. Branches are good. Did I hear an amen? Branches are what? They are good. I'm not amongst those who say that there are too many churches. Who said so? In fact, they are not enough. This is how you know the churches are too many. When you get to one and there's nobody inside, that one should close. Now, did you hear what I said? Yes, when you get to one and there's nobody inside, let that one close. But as long as people are going there, I think we don't have enough yet. Amen? Uh-huh. So let's just clarify that. But because of branching, you know, sometimes some good things can become, people can turn them into what is bad. All right? You find a lot of people, now I'm saying this and I believe totally, a lot of people who are pastoring, I look at them and I feel sorry for them, that forget this job, it's not your job. And you know why they do it? Because they actually think that is how to please God. A man works in a bank, he's a very good banker. All right? But he doesn't cross his mind that banking is God's business. So he banks for the world, he says, and then he comes to pastor for God. I don't know whether you got that. So maybe I work in Guarantee Trust. I feel like that work I'm doing in Guarantee Trust is for the shareholders of Guarantee Trust Bank. But the one I do in the evening in church and on Sundays, that is the one that is for God. Therefore, if a man is not doing that, he thinks that he's not yet doing anything for God. Do you follow the point I'm making? And that's what caused a lot of confusion. And actually, I have heard pastors preach it. I heard a man many years ago. I hope he doesn't say that anymore. He's a well-known man. He said that you can go. He was talking about people, the fact that people are not ready to stay in church for long. He said, you are willing to go to church and to work 8 hours a day and work for a boss who is not even saved, but you cannot sit in church for 3 hours on Sundays. On Sunday. And about 8 hours, you are working for a boss that's not even saved. I heard this many years ago, around 1992. And I told myself, I said, sir, this is not true. I'm not working for a boss that's not saved. I'm working for God. Do you get my point? I'm not working for a boss that's not saved. I'm working for God. And Christians must understand that everything you do is supposed to be done as a matter of ministry, as unto the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm explaining this principle to highlight the scriptures we read. That before you were born, there was a solution that God wanted to pass down to the earth, and he created you for that purpose. You're not supposed to get down here and be looking for something you can do to help somebody. Well, I want to get into how you, well, as we are going on, how you find out exactly which one is your own to fulfill. But please, you first must get this mindset. That's why, look, I like something, you know, this woman, I quote her a lot, Mary Kay Cosmetics. All right? In her book, Miracles Happen, somebody said something about her and the company. That company was not about that woman, but there was a divine accident waiting to happen. I don't know whether you get the point. That is, that woman did not create the company. God created the company and was waiting for the person through whom he could what? Manifest it. And let me say it again. There is no problem in life you have ever identified. There is no issue in life you have ever seen and desired a solution for that God does not already have a solution prepared. There's none. And part of that solution, in fact, the most vital part of that solution is the person through whom he wants to introduce it. And listen, let me say it again. That person was specifically wired to be able to manifest it. Whether you like it or not. And you see, as human beings, we can learn virtually anything. You know that. You know, as a human being, you can learn virtually anything. You can learn to draw. You can learn to paint. You can learn to sing. And you can learn to preach. You can learn to talk. You can learn to do anything. You can learn to run. But listen, it is not an accident that few people on earth... Is it who's involved? Now, it's not an accident that few people on earth can beat him. Let me tell you something. If you were not wired for that speed, train from the time you were born to the time you die, you can't make it. Are you getting my point? Listen, it's not everybody that can sing. Let me tell you the truth. Now, I said something first of all, that most human beings can do virtually anything. Do you get my point? Yes, virtually anybody can learn to do something. But to become extraordinarily excellent in the thing, it must be part of you. Now, get my point. It must be part of you. You can't try. You just don't try and reach that point. Now, if God puts a gift and an ability inside your heart, if you don't do anything about it, we may never know. There are many businessmen who are medical doctors, and we will never find out. I'm telling you the truth. They've gone to school. They have read. They have passed. They are good. I mean, this is just about knowing how to read and being teachable. So the fellow have settled down, and he's seen the number of patients a day, earning a good salary, he's married, has children, and life is just going on smoothly. But there was a young man I met once. He was my student. After we chatted, I told him that I think it would be a great mistake if he decided to practice medicine. Unfortunately, the guy was very intelligent. Oh, he's very intelligent, a young man. Very, very smart. Now, I can't run the life of somebody else for him. Do you understand my point? That one doesn't, it's not my business, but I have the right to my opinion. And after talking to him, I told myself, see, the fact that you are smart and you were in secondary school, they gave you physics A1, all right? Chemistry A1, mathematics A1, Greek A1. You went to jam, killed jam. Therefore, they put a cutoff point for medicine in the school you chose to be 325. You got 328, whatever, but you entered the place. That is no proof. Now, you are just intelligent. Now, get my point. Intelligence is intelligence. I don't know where I get my point. That's not a calling. Nobody says that if you get beyond that, below that level, is what qualifies you not to become a doctor. Are you getting what I'm saying? After talking with him, I told myself, God. I told him straight, why on earth, okay, you finish school, you want to become a specialist, and all these things, because chatting with the young man, I said, this boy is smart, but he will have done better to have studied economics, not medicine. Along the line, we'll talk about how the society helps direct you in the wrong path in life. They put something up in front of you. All right? and make it an what they call it, the standard. And every young man is striving to become a particular thing. Like I always say, education is for the purpose of being educated. Education is meant to get you educated. After you've become educated, you now sit down and ask yourself, what really can I do? Now, the reason is this. You know, I said at the beginning that anybody can learn to sing. Anybody can learn to run. But no matter how hard you train, to beat somebody like Usain Bolt is going to be very, very hard for you. Except you have the ability inside you. Except you have it. Listen, I'm a pathologist, all right, by medical training. So I studied the issue of molecules, genetics, and stuff like that. And I know that we are wired differently. That's a matter of fact. We are what? We are wired differently. Okay? Now, I'm coming to something. If you are not wired in a particular form, you can sit, train yourself to achieve a certain level of excellence in that thing. You get my point? With so much trying. One of my friends used to make a joke, those is in school. We'll be talking about, and listen to this, so we'll be talking about Michael Jordan. Say, so, oh, Michael Jordan is so good. And he would tell me that, Banky, I'm not impressed. You know, Michael Jordan, American basketballer. The gist was everywhere. In fact, there was one gospel rap album that we had then by Michael Peace. And he was talking about heaven. This was how he introduced it, a conversation between two people. He said, hey, Michael, are you going to be there? Instead of saying yes, the guy said, is Michael Jordan the best? That's their way of saying yes. Because Air Jordan is just too good. Are you following what I'm saying? So my friend said that, look, that is not impressed. That all the days and nights I spent studying physiology, biochemistry, anatomy, pharmacology, and pathology, if I spend it playing basketball, me too, I will be good. And because we're medical students, all right? And we spent all our time reading. Now, when he said that, of course, it made sense, but there's something I want to bring out. If you don't have it inside you to fly through the air and dunk a basketball, if you like, wake up at night. You will eat what the Bible calls the bread of hard labor. I'm coming to something, though. Because anybody can learn to do something. That's why I said that earlier. But then there are people that have something inside them. Now, this is it. When the person that has something inside him now takes time out to learn the thing that's inside him, that is what produces excellence and being outstanding in life. As long as you are striving for the one that's not inside you, the best you can be is average. Do you follow my point? That's why you hear someone like Mike Murdoch or Bishop Oyedepo say that there is a place where you are the best. Well, what are you doing where you are average? One day, a colleague of mine went in the hospital, in my office. So we're doing some work. He saw a book in my hand. The title of the book is John Alexander Dowie. A story of his life, his triumphs and tragedies, something like that. It's a book that I looked for more than 12 years. I finally got it this year. So he looked at the book and said, ha, this man. I'm sure you read more of this kind of materials than medical materials. I look at him, I said, yes, of course. I said, most certainly, yes. What was I saying? Oh boy, listen. Pathologists come, they go. Do you understand my point? There were many before me. There will be many after me. I have not seen anything in life that will make me outstanding as a pathologist. In my class, we were 180 medical doctors that graduated. There have been thousands and thousands since that time. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to be a doctor. Get what I'm saying? You are following my point. But that I have discovered a place where being outstanding is my portion. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I have discovered the one that nobody can say that I'm just one of a multitude. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, you now think, I won't spend more time on that. I will spend more time on the one which I just merge with all the Joneses. No. I told him most certainly, yeah, yes. I spend more time reading this. And in case you want to know, it's a matter of time. I will soon give you a resignation letter once. One day, yes, of course. Look, for those of you who want to know, the reason I don't like idleness, you've heard me say it before. The kind of ministry I run right now, I can run it the way I run it right now. So I can't wake up in the morning and be phoning people, please, do you have space for me to come and preach? I don't want that. So I keep myself occupied to a particular level. And I'm very careful about my time. That's why I don't do private practice. Private practice opens up, I don't want to do. I left that one a few years ago. Do you get my point? Because I'm spending my time on something that is outstanding. In fact, one day my mom said something. He was asking me about that you used to do private practice then. How far was your practice? I said, that one. Mommy, I abandoned it long ago. She said, why? I said, ministry takes all my time. And that's not a joke. Kingdom World Ministries, the activities thereof, all right, writing books, preparing messages, editing messages, and doing all of this takes at least half of my waking time. That if you don't count the time I spend driving from one place to the other, you understand? But my productive time, yes. Last Saturday, I told that all the messages from the beginning of the year till last Saturday will be ready by today. I had to travel yesterday morning because I traveled yesterday, came back this afternoon, all right? I made sure everything was ready. I dropped them in Keruzo. I sent a text to Lise Meka and Israel. Please pick them up from Keruzo. I said, it takes too much of my time. I don't have the time to spend on that practice. And she made the statement, listen, and I will tell you the answer I gave her. She said, but that one doesn't give you money. But that one doesn't pay you. And I remember, I think it was an inspiration. I answered. I said, but that's the reason why I was born. That's the reason why you had me as a child. I said, we will now neglect the reason why we were born because it does not pay money. Do you get the point I'm making? So, personally, I discovered this is where I am excellent. This is where when I unite my labor, you get my point? My diligence with something that is inside. Because he said, thou didst form my inward parts. There's a particular way God formed me. Now, get what I'm saying? That's how I was made. If I unite that with my diligence, what I produce is what? Excellence. There are many things in life you can do. There are so many things, but there are very few that you can do and be outstanding. There are extremely few. And one of the disciplines you teach yourself in life is how to ensure that most of your productive energy is spent on that one in which you become excellent. You've heard of these, those of you who know studies like that, you should give me the name, I've forgotten now. The 80-20 rule. Is it Pareto? What do you call it? Pareto principle, yes. The 80-20 rule is applied in many ways. For example, they'll tell you that 80% of a company's revenue comes from 20% of its products. All right? 20% of the staff of a company produce 80% of the results. All right? And that's just the way it is. You will discover in life that there is a 20% for you that is outstanding. I'll give you Pareto's law. Put 80% of your energy into that one. That is how people become outstanding in life. All right? I'm just explaining these scriptures that we read. Let's go on. There's another one. Okay, yeah, still in that line. There's one more scripture we should read. The book of Romans chapter 12. In fact, what I want to read there is what I'm already explaining. There's something I said earlier, which I should reiterate again. Every believer is a minister. Did I hear an amen? Now, repeat what I said. Every believer is a minister. That includes me. Say that. All right. Because unconsciously, you know, that's where we've been brought up. You think the pastor is a minister. You are not a minister. And I'm not one of those who believe that everybody is the same. How can we all be the same? You have your job, I have my own. We can't be the same. Do you understand my point? Uh-huh. The goalkeeper and the attacker, they are not the same. One man keeps the goal, another man does the attack. And let me just say this quickly. Have you noticed? Now listen to this. Let me just say that quickly. Have you noticed that it's very rare for a goalkeeper to be the footballer of the year? Otherwise, Enugu footballer of the year, Nigerian footballer of the year, African footballer of the year, or world footballer of the year, whatever it is rare. I don't know any. I know it must have happened before, but I can't remember the day a goalkeeper was named the footballer of the year. Or you finish a tournament, they say the most valuable player is a goalkeeper. But you also know that there have been times that the goalkeeper is the reason why they won the cup. There are goalkeepers that were sent by God to frustrate the best attackers. That is, once the guy just stands gidigba like this, where you won't take, in fact, some of this, I see the Holy Spirit diverts the balls into their hands. Have you not seen that? It's true. There was, I'm not much of a football fan. There was one game we watched once in Lagos. I've never seen a goalkeeper like that. A European club side competition, all right, match. And in fact, the commentator said this goalkeeper is too good. That anyway, he has to be this good, having so much practice because he plays for a club that's this bad. That is, the defenders were so used there that this guy has a lot of practice. Balls were always coming towards the net. Enter, whose side? They don't enter. They shoot here, bam, the guy will catch. As the, look, give him a rebound. He goes across and catches from the other side. Yet the commentator commented that his co-players are very terrible, and that's why he is that good. But the point I'm making is this. Goalkeepers work, but human beings don't always give them the honor that they deserve. And that's one reason why people miss their calling in life. Because human beings hardly give honor to certain vital callings. So unconsciously, we start striving for that which they always give honor to. And we'll talk about that. You must be careful that they don't derail you from your calling because they give honor to somebody else. Very few young men who want to play soccer ever think about becoming a goalkeeper. In fact, I don't know when last they discussed on the news the transfer fee for a keeper. Look, you guys who know football, please correct me. Is it Kaka the other day that they were fighting over? Go to Manchester City and Manchester Village or somewhere. And they were discussing that one. But nobody makes it a central, discussion on the transfer fee for a keeper. So most young men, that's the thing, even though they can play soccer very well and they know how to keep, all right? They are very good goalkeepers. But if they have to go to church and give a prayer point, they won't pray that God make me a good goalkeeper. Everybody wants to be a Drogba. They want to be a Kaka. Who else is there? Anyway, they want to be just attackers. But listen, without a goalkeeper, if you like, have two Drogbas, two Kakas, two Kwanwankos, two of the best strikers, put them there. Look, that's your goalpost there. It will receive 100 goals before you go home that day. That is when you will understand what it means not to have a goalkeeper, no matter how good your Kwanwankos and all your Kakas are. And let me tell you, this is how God does it. Each man receives his reward. Now, God rewards people differently from how human beings do it. The Bible says each man receives his reward according to his labor, not according to the honor that men give him, not according to the publicity that they give to his profession. Each man receives his reward according to what? His labor. And that's why, I said, I think it was last week or the week before that, that we must learn the things that are really satisfying. We must learn the things that God says is good. We must learn it. Don't let the world teach you things. So, let me tell you the truth. Whether they pay you $1 million a year, or $10,000, or $10 million a year, or $100 million a year, it makes no difference as a footballer. You know that. As a matter of fact, it doesn't make any difference. Most of the extra money they pay you, it becomes a headache. You don't even know what to do with it. That gospel is very hard to preach to people these days. They say, Oga, that's serious cushion against economic depression. Believe me, the higher you are, the bigger you can fall. Do you understand that? Yes, I'm telling you the truth. Oh God, I wish you would understand what Jesus said. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. There's no man who's safer in life because he has more money. Do you get the point? So please then, don't let the world teach you standards. I told you I want to go and do a seminar in Benin. Talking about gifts and callings, the title of the seminar was My Course and My Call, because this was a university setting, all right? So you are studying a course in school. Let's discuss that as beside your call, what God wants you to do in life. So last session, we had a question and answer session. You have a call, you have a gift. I talked about your gift, that is your skill, something that's inside you naturally, okay? So different people were supposed to ask questions. And 90% of those who asked could either act or sing. Do you understand? I know I'm a gifted singer. Excuse me, sir. See, I know how to act. I'm a gifted actor. After a while, I thought, wait. There's no gifted footballer here. No gifted writer. No gifted teacher. No, okay, there was one gifted cook, at least. Thank God, though. That one saved me from all my troubles. No gifted fashion designer. No gifted artist. No gifted architect. No gifted event manager. All of them were gifted actors and musicians. I say, it's not your fault now. It is Two-Face and Genevieve. Now, then cause all the wahala. You heard that Guinness, was it Guinness that paid $40 million to Kenny's Music for Two-Face to say everybody, no, say me, too legit to quit. I saw that advert once. I said, no wonder. You understand my point? You heard, $40 million naira just to shoot an advert for one day. You hear, say, when Genevieve show for one movie, $1 million enters into the pocket. And that's because she stayed there for only for 1 full week. If she stays more than 1 week, so you think that kind of thing, suddenly you become gifted. Suddenly become gifted. No, that's the problem with human beings. Because the strikers are the ones that get all the glory and all the honor. The men who God called to be goalkeepers, they don't want to keep. You follow the point I'm making? That's how people, they help us lose our track in life. Even we preachers, Seth, even we preachers. At least I have studied a lot about ministry. And have. That's why you've heard too many TDJXs around, have you not? I said, you just faint for nothing. That's why I swore, God, please, I don't want to sound like anybody. The greatest opposite of compliment somebody ever gave me, if you tell me like, you sound exactly like Bishop Oyedepo, I won't sleep. I will listen and check to the things, I will check for the things I say that's exactly like his own. Now, you see, if you listen to somebody so much, the person will rub off on you. So that one is here. So that's just my own, that's my response to the fact that I hate this thing so much, I just want to sound like Pastor Banky. I like it. I want to sound like me. It's an unconscious thing. If a man blesses you so much, you want to sound like him. There was a time, and these things have come in, and it has killed people. It's come in fads, and you know, there was a time that prophets and evangelists were the reigning thing. All right? In ministry. What I mean? They will come. Listen to me. God is coming to get you. God is coming to get you. And right now, shout. And listen, if you don't give your life to Christ, you will die tonight and go to hell. If you don't go to hell, come for. And you know, God, and they go. People go wrong. So the sign of a good evangelist is when he makes the altar call, the front go full. Oh, but there was one man, Jonathan Edwards. He preached a sermon, very famous sermon, titled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. They said when he was preaching, people held the pillar thinking that if they release it, they will fall down into hell. And look, that's an anointing. The guy who terrified everybody with his preaching. And of course, because of that, every young man that entered into ministry had to be like Jonathan Edwards and people like him. Condemning people. You will die and go to hell. I've been in the church before. I listened to this man preach about 3 times. I didn't go back. Today I want to preach about born again. You say you are born again, you are still smoking cigarette. Let me tell you, you are going to die and go to hell. For a while I said, is it not church? I mean, did you enter a disco club or something? This is church now. You say you're a Christian woman, you are still abusing your husband, you are dead, and you are going to hell. Dude, the man, after a while, gosh, I couldn't wait for that service to end. Oh, I ran outside. What was that? Next service, I said, well, maybe that was a bad day. I came back. It was only my youth service. Then the man began again. He gave another topic. The same story. You will die and go to hell. You will die. After that, I said, boy, I'm not dying. I'm not going to hell. Thank you very much. I'm not coming back here. That's the only thing I'm sure of. Now, Now, he started from somewhere, from the stories of people like Jonathan Edwards. Now, this interesting part, under people like Jonathan Edwards, if you heard that, it won't turn you off. If you were a believer, you wouldn't be afraid. If you were not, you would really be afraid, and people were genuinely converted. Then that season passed, became the season of divine healing. And people, oh God, if you were not a divine healer, you won't go preach anywhere. There was a time that prophets were the reigning thing. As soon as you start preaching, as I open my Bible, the Lord showed me that two people are sitting down over there. And they are not lying. True. And you know, people like to follow that which is sensational. So the crowds will gather. So every young man who's coming to ministry, he too has to see vision. What's your problem? So if you, look, listen. I have been for a birthday party on campus. You hear what I said? A birthday party. We gathered to jollificate. I still remember that brother that day. He was wearing a white dashiki like this on top of his trousers and shirt. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There are two people there who are sinking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There are two people there who are having headache. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There are three people there who are backache. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He kept on giving word of mouth. I will look like this one. What do you think? Listen, see, how many of you know Reverend Chris Oyakhilome? I have known him for a very long time. All right? That is not personal. It's not my friend. He doesn't come to my house. I mean, like, from a distance. First time I saw him, when they first started what is Christ Embassy now, all right? Then YFC. I attended when I was on campus, 1986. It's quite a while ago. He was, if you want to hear gist. Okay, let me give small gist just to satisfy this long truth where you see all the truth. All the truth just a stretch. But listen, and you have to be careful. There was later on I found out something. Actually, what happened that time, God poured a heavy anointing in demonstration of power into especially campuses. It was, my wife would tell you, they went to see Reverend Kola Iwosho. He was telling us stories that I didn't know that time. Look, my friend Anne, she's in Onitsha now. She's a community health physician. All right, her husband is a preacher and is a pharmacist, a businessman, and a music minister. You know, then when she was in secondary school, Reverend Chris Oyakhilome would go to their school to go and preach. And these are the days when once preacher just appeared, do like this, everybody's on that. Look, you're on the floor. It's not struggle. You know, just, in fact, Reverend Ewosho said that once he went to go and preach in Aba as a student University of Benin. Holiday, he went to go and preach in, I think it was Aba or Uma here, one of those two places, somewhere in Abia State. And he said, people gathered, and some people actually gathered to come and cause trouble. He did not know. So when he finished preaching and he said, okay, now, they should watch. He didn't even know what he was going to do. He just said, Holy Ghost! As he said it, those guys they virtually caught fire. That is, they thought they were burning. People were falling on themselves. People were jumping out through windows. He didn't even know. All he did was, Holy Ghost! And said that when Reverend Chris, Oyakhilome, will come to their school, once he said, we have seen people fall under the power too much. Why should they always fall? Why can't they rise? Let's begin to pray. As they were praying, people were actually getting up from the floor and floating in the air. It was around that time I entered campus. There was one brother, he's left Nigeria and has gone to the US. Wants to give him a microphone. Yes, Father, amen. Then there are these visions all over the place. And there was a way he used to talk. This is how he used to illustrate when he's talking. Next thing you know, any young man give microphone. No, I'm serious. Now, this is the interesting part. Reverend Wushu will tell you that after that, that when he left school and entered into ministry, all those manifestations vanished. He asked God, where did they go? They didn't do anything to bring it on. And there was nothing they could do to sustain it. At the point in time, God pulled them back. There's one man, his name escaped me now. Such things usually follow his ministry. He said one day he sat down and he was supposed to preach, so he sat down. He traveled. So while waiting to be called up, he was on his seat and he fell asleep. So after a while, he said, let us welcome to the microphone. Let's assume his name is Mr. Daniel. Let's welcome the man of God, Mr. Daniel. And that one woke him up from sleep. And he got up to go forward. As he got up, everybody sitting on his row fell down. He said he didn't do anything. He was asleep. They thought he was in the spirit. No, he was exhausted from his journey.